Who is your favorite superhero? Well, who is it?
Superman.
Superman, right? He goes with a classic. In the last few years, we have seen movies featuring Iron Man, Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, the Green Lantern, the Flash, Aquaman, the Silver Surfer. Right? He was somewhere in there. Wonder Woman, the Incredible Hulk, Wolverine, and let's not forget Xena, the Warrior Princess. Right? They have all been there. As a people, we have a desire for the fantastic. I want you to know it wasn't any different living for people at the time of the New Testament, especially for the Jews who had this fascination with their own superheroes, who were known as angels. Now, last week we began a series from the book of Hebrews. We learned some amazing things about Jesus. We learned that he is the heir of all things. Because he is the heir of all things, our lives are ultimately, right, a gift to him. We learned that he is the exact representation of God's glory, that he is like a sunbeam coming directly from the sun, that he is the creator of everything, not only the creator, but the sustainer, not only of the creation, but of you and me. He holds us together in hard times. That he is the one who gives us life so we can have life, that he's the man on the other side of the picture if you to everything. Jesus is God's original superhero. I would even go so far as to say that the reason that we have this craving in us for superheroes is that God has placed in our spiritual DNA this desire for a savior. Now the problem is, we have this propensity to mess things up. We have a great ability in our lives to mess things up, to pursue the wrong things, to meet those desires that God gives us for something more, and we settle for something less. Now, these people of Jesus' day, the people who were living at the time of the New Testament, again, had this fascination with angels. We've had the same fascination in our own day, right? We've had Touched by an Angel. Angels in Los Angeles. Angels in the outfield. I did a web search. I went on Google this week and just Googled the word angel. Anybody want to guess how many websites I found? Over 9,200,000 web addresses having something to do with angels. Now, the Bible has lots to say about angels that are legitimate. Angels are a separate class of spiritual beings created by God. The Bible says who are under his authority. They are a different category of being. Their name means messenger or sent one. Angels are said to protect God's people. They offer encouragement. On occasion, they give guidance. They carry out punishment. They fight the forces of evil. They announce the birth of Jesus. And occasionally, they even appear in human form. I know some of you, because I've heard stories, think that you have had encounters with angels. I'll just tell you kind of a quick one. Went to church one Sunday as a young 21-year-old. It was kind of like the call you guys got last night to come help somebody move in. Pastor comes up to me on a Sunday, knows I live with two other single guys, and he says, I've got this guy who started to coming to church and he needs a place to live. How about you? So this guy came into our house, seemed like he could hardly speak any English at all, came into our apartment. He was an out-of-work Hungarian house painter. Comes into our house and is with us for about a week. And we had some of the most amazing times in Scripture that I've ever had in my entire life. Right? It was like this guy was teaching at the level of like a seminary professor or scholar. And just every night we would come home from work and this guy would open the Scriptures to us. And we would spend 2 or 3 hours a night in fellowship for about a week. At the end of the week, we come home. We leave for work in the morning. We come home. At the end of the day on Friday, our entire apartment has been painted. And he knows the story. We're just in our house, right? Angels. Sometimes they appear in human form. They are incredibly powerful. Now, a lot of times when we see angels portrayed in contemporary literature or on Christmas cards, sometimes they look kind of effeminate. It's kind of interesting because in 2 Kings 19, one angel appears and in one night wipes out 185,000 members of the Assyrian army. One angel. Incredibly powerful beings. The New Testament says God used angels to mediate the covenant through Moses to the Jewish people. There's a lot more I could say. But the problem was, for all the scriptures say about angels, that by the time of Jesus, people had taken what the Bible says about them and had begun to add things to it. Some said it was angels who, along with God, kind of by committee, created the universe. That was a common understanding at the time of Jesus. Some said angels were so close to God that they should be worshipped because they were like God himself. Some said in order to communicate with God at all, you could not do it directly, that the only way you could communicate with him was through an intermediary, and that intermediary was an angel. Some say similar things about angels today. So it's into this setting that God comes to set the record straight about angels. In Hebrews chapter 1, open up your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. The writer says this. So he, Jesus, became as much superior to the angels as the name that he inherited is superior to theirs. What is that name? Jesus is superior to angels in three main areas. First, Jesus is superior because of who he is. Verse 6, this describes what his name means. For to which of the angels did God, verse 5 and 6, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son? Today I have become your father, or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. Two quotes taken directly from the Old Testament. The first, actually, it's kind of interesting. In every chapter of the book of Hebrews, that as it talks about the greatness and the exaltation of Jesus, there are quotes taken from the Old Testament. Right? He's there in the old, he's there in the new. But the first quote is taken from Psalm 2, which goes on to say this. Therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Wow. Old Testament. Lest he become angry and you be destroyed in your way. Now, in the Old Testament, we're given some of the names of angels. We're told about different angels in the Old Testament. There is Michael, whose name means who is like God. He is known as God's mighty angel, but Jesus is more than just mighty. He is almighty. There is Gabriel, whose name means God is great, known as the messenger of God, but Jesus is more than just the messenger. Jesus is the message, taking on human flesh. There was Lucifer. That was his old name, right? Before he became known as the devil. There was Lucifer who fell from grace, whose name meant bright and morning star. But Jesus is more than just a morning star. He is the light of the world. He is the one and the only true Son of God. Now, there are groups out there who knock on the door of your home, carry little green Bibles that they've translated themselves, who teach that Jesus, as the Son of God, is not God. I struggled with that when I first became a believer, actually. So I had to spend a lot of time in the Scripture, but I'll tell you what convinced me. This was what convinced me. I looked at all the scriptures. It's all throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But this is what convinced me. If anything has an offspring, that offspring bears the very nature of its parents. Anything. If a bird has an offspring, it gives birth to what? Another bird. If a cat has an offspring, it gives birth to what? A pet in Alan's old apartment. No, it gives birth to kittens, right? cats don't give birth to dogs, and dogs don't give birth to cats. It's not in their nature. I have two daughters. Both of them share my nature. It's good and bad for them. But they share my nature as a human being. They share who I am as a human. God had a son, and that son's name is Jesus Christ, and is God's one and only begotten son. Jesus is very God and very God. As his one and only begotten son. Jesus is superior to the angels, superior to anyone or anything, simply because of who he is. There's something very different about him that we need to know and understand. Secondly, Jesus is superior to angels because he alone is worthy of worship. Verse 6, and again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels worship him. Remember when Jesus was born, who was it who sang in the choir? Angels, right? Worshiping him. In Revelation 5, when there's this group that's gathered around the throne singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power, who was singing? Angels. This angelic choir. Remember then at the start of Revelation, as you read through that book in chapter 1, John bows down to worship before this angel. And the angel says, get up, right? Worship God. We're servants, just like you. They look at John and they say, it's about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. Thirdly, Jesus is superior to angels because of just the nature of his kingdom. There's something so different about his kingdom. In verse 7, in speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire. It's as if the writer of Hebrews is saying their ministry comes and goes. It comes and goes. It can be pretty impressive sometimes, like a storm or a whirlwind or a fire. But Jesus lasts forever. Verse 8. But about the Son, he says, your throne, now God is speaking, what does he say next? Your throne, oh God, right? Amazing. Your throne, oh God, will last forever and ever. Instead of unrighteousness, one of the things that sets him apart because of the nature of his kingdom, instead of unrighteousness, righteousness, it says, will be the scepter of his kingdom. Instead of injustice, do you guys ever get tired of injustice in this world? You should. God cares about injustice. Right? We're to let justice like run down and flow down like mighty waters. Instead of injustice, it says you, Jesus, have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions. Instead of sadness, you've been anointed with the oil of joy. Instead of others who don't finish what they start, it says of the Son, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like an old garment. Right? Just, you know, I picture just looking out the window and watching it roll up one day. He will roll them back like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed. I like this next part. But you remain the same. Jesus, your years never end. Listen, there are so many things that we can't count on in life. Right? Even Superman gets knocked out by what? Kryptonite. Athletes disappoint us with their behavior. Even some of those who claim to serve God let us down horribly. Some of our politicians, need I need to go there, right? Let us down. Jesus never fails. Just look at your neighbor and say that. Jesus never fails. Now, we need to be mature when we say that. Does it mean that everything works out the way we want? No. It just doesn't. That's not faith. It's magic. Right? Jesus isn't a God. Jesus isn't a magician. God isn't a magician. Jesus is God. It's not faith to just think that everything's going to work out all the time. It's magic. Does it mean that when... It means that Jesus will never leave me or forsake me. Even in the middle of great trials, as I trust Him, as I turn my life over to Him, He will never leave me or forsake me. He will bring good things out of the most difficult circumstances as we trust in Him. Now we look forward to the day when God will make all things right. I look forward to that day all the time. The older I get, the more I look forward to it. And that day is coming. Verse 13, to which of the angels or to anybody did God ever say, sit at my right hand? That's Jesus, right? God the Father said to God the Son, sit at my right hand, and I will make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. You know what that is? What that symbolism of a footstool is? What it is utter, total, complete victory. That's what it is. The day is coming. But in the meantime, when we go through the struggles, when we go through the difficulties, God sends us help along the way. At a time when the recipients of this letter were feeling like giving up, remember, they were feeling like giving up. People were telling them to turn back on their faith. It says this in verse 14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? God sends angels to us as ministering spirits to those who will inherit salvation. What that means is that if you have trusted Christ, right, He sends these angels to you to minister to you. Now, there's two ways that people interpret this verse, and we're going to close with this. The first says this. The first way to interpret this is this way, and you can take it either way. That even before you responded to Jesus, God in His mercy sent angels to you to spare your life for a purpose. Look back over your life. Do you really think it was all by accident? Right? God says He sends these angels to those who will inherit salvation, to spare you, to spare your life, to minister to you for such a time as this. In the middle of our struggles. Now, if that is you, and it's all of us at some level, we have something to be thankful for. God has spared us. I'm amazed that any little boy grows up to adulthood. Right? It's a miracle that God spares us the way He does. We have something to be thankful for. We need to thank Him as we look back over our lives that we're still here this morning. But there's a second way to interpret this verse that's just as valid. He sends you His angels to minister to you right now. He does it right now. Which says this to me, He has not forgotten you. He is aware of your situation. Whatever trial you may be experiencing, there's loving hands that are all around you. Let me tell you, they are in this room. There's loving hands in this room. Some of those hands you can see. Isn't that great? But some you can't see. But I want you to know, as we close this morning, that just because you can't see them doesn't mean that they're not there.